The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into ESPN FC. Shaka Hislop, Sebastian Salazar with you in studio. Shaka, I don't know if you saw yesterday's show. We had quite a heated discussion over whether Atalanta should have been reduced to 10 men against Real Madrid in the Champions League. We will keep that debate going a little bit later in today's show. Some different faces to mix it up. Steve Nichol will be by for that. Joining us now, though, Stuart Robson, Julian Laron, Don Hutchison. It is Thursday, which most importantly means Shaka's power ranking.
Yeah,
second
correct.
Most importantly means Europa League. We'll start in Greece, where Arsenal beat Benfica. Had to come from behind in this one. They win it 3-2 to advance 4-3 on aggregate. Aubameyang with a couple goals. Kieran Tierney as well. Jules, I'll start with you. Just how big was this for Arsenal to advance to the round of 16 in Europa League?
It was huge. I mean, the result, of course, and qualifying, but also the fact that they came from behind. It's been very, very rare this season. I think it was only the second time where they went behind and then ended up winning the game. We saw it against Southampton in the league, the game at St. Mary's. But apart from that, every time they were behind, every time they conceded first, they could not come back and win it. So to do that psychologically would be huge tonight. Plus also the qualification, the momentum before the game at Leicester on Sunday. And also, of course, the two goals for Aubameyang and the two assists for Bukayo Saka. And I think we need to find new words to qualify what an amazing player Bukayo Saka is at only 19.
Don, Bukayo Saka, how good is he?
I think he's their best player, Sebi. I know people say Aubameyang gets the goals and they rely on his goals, which is true. But I think when I watch young Saka play, I think he's got the lot. I look at his temperament. I look at the way he plays the game. You can tell that he loves playing football. He's got a smile on his face. I can imagine that his attitude's infectious at the training ground and when he's playing. But talent-wise, I mean, he's got a wand of a left foot. He can ghost past players for fun. He can go either way. He's got a turn of pace. Again, he works back. He's got the lot, really. I mean, he must be a manager's dream.
Robbo, is he Arsenal's best player?
He's right up there. Games and he created the two goals for Aubameyang, and that was the difference between the two sides. Benfica, I thought, played some nice football today, but they had no cutting edge going forward, whereas Arsenal did have a cutting edge. They were trying to break off sidelines. Saka was coming infield and hitting those little balls around the corner. Aubameyang was trying to run in behind, whereas Benfica, for all their good play at times, just had no cutting edge.
Shaka, Arsenal just getting it done today.
Yeah, just. But to your last question to Stuart about Saka, yes, he in my mind, he is Arsenal's best and most important player. And Arsenal's third goal, the goal that takes them to the next round, sums it up. One on one with the defender, a couple of crossovers. Defender doesn't know whether he's going to go right or left. Comes back on the left and picks out a perfect ball to Aubameyang, who just onside scores, and maybe Aubameyang, because of his two goals, grabs the headlines. But for me, Arsenal is about Saka, and so much of their good play comes from him, from his unpredictability, from just how clever he is on the ball. And for me, without question, that team suffers most without Saka, more so than taking anybody else out of the starting lineup.
Interesting to see what Gareth Southgate thinks come the summer. Also Thursday, just a shocking result. Slavia Prague, 2-0 winners over Leicester City. So Leicester City out in the round of 32 in the Europa League. Jules, what happened here? Because I think Brendan Rodgers after the match has come out and said Leicester deserved to lose. And he's not wrong, is he?
No, he's right. And I think this is not the same team when James Maddison and Ashley Barnes don't start. It's as simple as that as well, because today, it was quite an even game for most of it, but they lacked a bit of creativity in the last 30 yards, that little spark that usually Maddison or Barnes have been bringing in the last few weeks, because they've been Leicester's best players, without a doubt. And the fact that both didn't start, Barnes came on later in the second half, but you clearly could see that something was missing. And I think in the end, Slavia deserved their win. They're very good. I expect them very much to be in Chaka's power rankings because, again, they showed what a good team, solid they could be. And they've got in their striker, Abdallah Sima, who's only 19, the Senegalese, I think a gem of a little player too.
Chaka?
Yeah?
Spot in your power rankings?
You'll have to wait to see, Seb.
Come on. That's...
I'm giving nothing away just yet. You'll have to stay tuned in.
Man, I don't know if you're a producer just yet, but I think you earned your producer credit with that one.
Don't you worry. It's to come. But to Juice's point, I thought what you saw from Slavia Prague in the second leg is pretty much what you saw from the first, that they were determined not to concede. And especially after the 0-0 in the first leg, coming to Leicester City, you know, they just played for that one chance, that one mistake. And while I thought Leicester dominated the ball, dominated possession, made all the running, didn't really create too many chances. Mm. And then Slavia get one, and it becomes a formality from there on in. And I think that was most telling, their approach, more so than Leicester's lack of quality. Mm.
All that said, Robbo, Leicester right now third in the table, even on points with Manchester United. Surely this is a shocking result and a poor performance.
It was a poor performance, and it just shows how much you need those creative players, as Jules said, in behind the main striker. Yeah, Vardy carried on making his runs, and Albrighton got a couple of crosses in and made a good run from outside to win. But you need players that can go past people. Barnes has shown that in recent weeks, that when he starts running with the ball, he breaks down defences because he can go past people. Maddison, likewise, he can manipulate the ball, just change the angle of a pass and find that penetrative pass. And that's the difference between Leicester being a very good side and just an average one. And today, they were average against a very good Slavia Prague. They didn't just come for the draw. I thought they defended well all over the field, but they were also a threat going forward.
Europa League then down to the final 16. Here's a look at your odds to win it all. Jules, who are you putting your money on?
I think Manchester United, I mean, I think the English clubs to start with, Spurs, United and Arsenal, have to be among the favourite only by standing of their leagues and the clubs that they are. But I think United of those three has to be the one, surely a bit above the other two. Then you still have some really good teams. I think Ajax, because of their pedigree again, because this is also quite a very good generation for them with Erik ten Hag, I think has a big shot as well to go far in the competition. And let's not forget, Sevilla are not there this time, so we know for sure they're not going to win it. So it's pretty much open behind that.
Don, you agree, Manchester United, your Europa League favourites?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you wanted an outsider, I'd put Shakhtar in there because it's not an easy place to travel. Got some fantastic Brazilian players and play really attractive football. They're not the team they were probably a couple of seasons ago, but United are favourites. It'd be very interesting tomorrow when the draw comes out.
Robbo?
Yeah, I think Manchester United versus Ajax would be a good final. Ajax are playing well at the moment. I think they might even be in Xhaka's power rankings. And Manchester United have got a strong squad. So I think that they are the best two teams in it, or the teams that could get to the final that we saw only 3 or 4 years ago.
Xhaka's power rankings getting a whole lot of love.
I'm still not giving anything away. I don't care. I don't care how much Jules and Robbo probes.
In this segment. All right, we'll call that a tease then.
Yeah, that's a big tease. I'm not giving anything away. I'm surprised, though, that Don didn't go for Rangers at 16-1. I thought for sure Don would say they are worthy of quite a flutter. So that caught me off guard.
Don?
Well, I'm just sort of playing it cagey. None of the English sides will want to draw them for sure, Shaq. But if we're going to get into the power rankings, if they're not number one, I'm logging off.
Very well. All right, let's take a look at the results from the round of 32. There you see everybody who advanced: Spurs, Arsenal, Ajax, Granada, Rangers, Shakhtar, Molde over Hoffenheim. That's a big surprise. Villarreal as well. Manchester United, no problems in their second leg, as we discussed. Slavia Prague through AC Milan. And Roma through Young Boys, surprising Bayer Leverkusen, Dinamo Kiev, Dinamo Zagreb through Olympiacos in a thriller against PSV. The draw scheduled for Friday.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
They are red with rage in Italy after Atalanta's Remo Freuler was controversially sent off early against Real Madrid Wednesday in the Champions League, a match Madrid would go on to win 1-0. Tutto Sport summing it up nicely. Atalanta heroic, referee disastrous, Atalanta robbed. Tutto Sport not the only ones fuming, though. Gasperini, the Atalanta manager, chiming in as well. This is football suicide, he says. We cannot have referees who never played the game. Referees also have video replays now. They have everything to judge, and yet even with replays, they get it wrong. Of course, a debate that got stirred up on yesterday's show. Steve Nichol joining us now. Don Rabo Shaka still with us. Don, I'll start with you. You heard the debate on yesterday's show. What do you think? Should it have been a red card?
Of course it was. Of course it was. I heard the lads debating it. I've no idea what Ali was going on in Gab. I mean, Craig was absolutely spot on. When Ferland Mendy goes through, it goes through towards goal, even though it's slightly towards the angle, but it's not a huge angle, and it's denying a goal-scoring opportunity. The covering defender, you can see him in the D, he's 15 yards away. There's no way he can cover, 15 yards in under a second. Ferland Mendy's going to take the shot on just as the ball probably gets into the 18-yard box. So it's quite clearly, by the law, it's denying a goal-scoring opportunity. It was absolutely the right decision from the referee.
Rabo, you agree?
Absolutely not. I couldn't see that it was a penalty. I did the other game, Chelsea versus Atletico Madrid. I came home, I'd seen there'd been a red card, so I watched the highlights, and I just could not believe that the penalty was given. Freuler, he's running back. Mendy, I think, is taking his touch too wide. So I just wouldn't give a penalty. And sometimes it's not all about the laws. It's about making the right decision. You get the judgment right, and it's never, ever a red card. And I agree with Gasperini. It's football suicide.
Stevie?
I was going to say, I don't know what Frank and Ali were talking about, but I guess we better add Robbo to this. I don't understand how it's not a red card. Because, listen, it's a free kick, no question. But he's clean through. If he doesn't get fouled, he's going to take two or three paces and he's going to be taking a shot one-on-one with the goalie, which means it's a goal-scoring opportunity. And there isn't a defender anywhere remotely close enough to making a challenge. So it would be a one-on-one. It's a goal-scoring opportunity. And I don't see what the debate is. 100% red card and a free kick outside the box.
Robbo, how do you not see that?
This is not always about... See, what really gets me about all this is that people make judgments and they stop try and explain why it's a penalty or why it's a red card. Sometimes it's instinct.
Well, you should.
Referees have to have instinct. They shouldn't have to go everything by the letter of the law, because every referee will judge a challenge differently. They will judge where the player's going differently.
We don't need the rules. You can referee every match, Robbo, on your own. We don't need the laws.
We have all the rules. There's three people that are saying it shouldn't be a penalty. So it shouldn't be a red card. There's four people in the studio saying it should be a red card. So if we know the laws, why is there so much difference? It's the same with penalties. When we see VAR, one VAR will say to the referee, go and have a look at it. The referee will look at it, he'll give a penalty or not a penalty, whatever it may be, and everybody still debates it.
Well,
so there's still a difference
clearly,
when a foul's taken, whether it's a penalty, whether it's a red card.
I heard someone on social media today trying to say the referee got it wrong because he messed the game up. I mean, how ludicrous. It's not the referee's job to make sure it's a good game. No, but the laws of the game, Robbo, the laws of the game, I'll read you some if you want. Distance from goal.
You can read some as much as you like. I still wouldn't give a, red card. Read it.
But why don't you understand it? Why don't you understand? I can't understand how you don't understand the laws. It's quite simple.
I think the ball's going away. I don't think he gets to the ball quickly enough, and I don't think it gets a shot away, in my view.
Ferland Mendy, it's
a shot on an angle. I don't think it's a goal-scoring opportunity.
Ferland Mendy's one of the quickest players.
I think his touch was too big. His touch was too big and it was too wide. I don't think it's a red card. You can quote the rules as much as you like. I don't think it's a red card.
All right, let's bring it into studio here, Shaka, just because you and I were starting to get bored there. Do you want to weigh in?
I do. On the one hand, it's a little concerning that I'm agreeing with the three Scotsmen on the show. But I think it's a red card. And the reason for that, or the benefit that he dealt going to Mendy and the referee in this case, is because of Freuler. I don't think Romero, the covering defender, is getting there. So I'm in agreement with Don. I, I, I don't see how Frank thought that came into play here. And as much as Mendy's touch was taking him a little bit wide, I don't think it was sufficiently so to rule it a not a goal-scoring opportunity. And the thing for me, and why the benefit of the doubt goes to Real Madrid and Mendy here, is Freuler makes absolutely no attempt to play the ball here. That is an atrocious tackle that is intended to do one thing and one thing only. And as a result, any benefit to the doubt that the angle or the distance or the covering the defender might have afforded Freuler here gets thrown out of the window, because this is just intended to do one thing. Stop Mendy. It's agricultural. It's everything the game shouldn't be about. And I think the referee gets it right.
All right, then. All right, that was on Wednesday. Let's push on to Tuesday. Push back, if you will. Atletico Madrid losing 1-0 against Chelsea. The beauty in this match, obviously, from Olivier Giroud. But, man, Atleti, less than 40% possession in this game. Not a single shot on goal.
But 0.84 expected goals. One shot on target, but you have 0.84 expected goals.
Now, this had a lot of people upset with how Atleti were playing. Nobody more upset than Don Hutchison on Twitter. Joao Felix is one of the most exciting young players in the world, and he's playing for Simeone. Does more work going back the way instead of getting the young genius on the ball. Oh, you think Don was done? No. If I'm Felix, Joao Felix, I'm wanting out of Atletico at the end of this season. He is miles too good for this. Pep would make him one of the best in the world. Don, why do you hate Atleti so much?
I don't. I just hate the style. Sebi, I look at Joao Felix, and I look at Thomas Lemar, and I think they're exciting players. But Felix is one of the most talented young players. When you get him behind someone like Messi and Neymar, he's in that bracket for how talented he is. And he's playing for Simeone, who just wants him to work and dig in and graft. And it's like, if he was playing for Klopp, Guardiola, Zidane would make him into a world-class player. He would give him the freedom. He would build a team around him. It's like João Felix has got to fit into Simeone's team and the ethic, which I get, and the structure, which I get. But at the same time, you've got to free this genius up. You can't have a world-class player who's talentedly so gifted and say to him, yeah, but can you do the rest of it? And can you defend, and can you put the miles in going backwards? And then, by the way, when you get the ball, can you travel 70 yards and score a worldy goal? It's just ridiculous. I just find it a hard watch when I watch Simeone's and Atletico Madrid play. I just get frustrated watching Felix.
Robbo, you called this match yesterday. What do you think about Simeone as a manager? Is he the thing that's holding Atleti back right now?
Well, they're top of La Liga at the moment, so he's not holding them back too much, is he? And if João Felix didn't know about Simeone's style of play, he should have known it before he signed for him, because Don's absolutely right. He's a talented player. He loves to get on the front foot. He goes and plays in the centre forward, off the centre forward at times. He go and play wide. But most of his work is having to be done defensively. That was throughout the game. He had to get back, and you're talking about Lemar. Lemar was meant to be the left-sided midfield player, was a left-back in a back six. So you know how Simeone's going to play. I mean, he's done it for many, many years. Everything is about the defensive side of the game. Even when they're trying to attack, it's about pressing the ball at the right time, as they nearly did against Chelsea right at the start when they took the ball off Mendy, the goalkeeper. There was a couple of other opportunities where they won the ball high up the field. But their creative play was next to nothing. And even the one or two odd chances they had was when they went long and Suarez won the ball in the air. That was their one way of getting an attack. They were really poor.
Robert, was Chelsea worthy of the respect Atleti showed them?
I'm not sure they're a fantastic side. I don't think they're doing too much different to what they were doing under Frank Lampard. I think they may have a bit more organisation. But if you're playing against a team with Giroud as the main striker, I don't think you need to be quite so deep. They could be squeezing up the field. Yes, they added two wing-backs that were going to keep making forward runs. Hudson-Odoi, I thought, was really good in the first half, making little diagonal runs in behind Lemar, who was the left-back in a back six. But Chelsea don't deserve that sort of credit to the way they play. I thought Atletico Madrid went about it with completely the wrong attitude.
Chelsea then 14-1 odds to win the Champions League as we stand. Atletico way down there at 33-1. Your favorites, no surprise. Manchester City still between their form and their form and the weaknesses of the other big boys. Stevie, there's no really more excuses here for Manchester City for Pep Guardiola. They're almost obligated now to win this Champions League title, no?
I don't think obligate is the word. They're definitely favourites, and it's in their hands. There's no question. Defensively, they're as good as anybody else in Europe. In the middle of the park, they're as good as anybody else in Europe and get goals as well as possession from the middle of the park. The slight question is do they score enough goals? Well, the answer to that is they don't score as many as they should, but they don't give any away. Mm. And so you've got to see right now, this is all about, can Manchester City not bottle it this year? Mm. Because they've got themselves in a position, the way they're playing, the style they play, the way the defence is playing, everything I've just mentioned, it's theirs to make a mess of. Mm. Because there's no question in my mind they're the best team in Europe right now. And they can only lose it, in my opinion.
Don, it's an interesting point that Stevie brings up, isn't it? Is the one concern for Manchester City actually Pep Guardiola, and not just because of the results that we're seeing here, but really his tinkering in these knockout round Champions League ties has cost City in the past.
Yeah, and the three games at the bottom there, Monaco, Liverpool and Tottenham, he tried to outscore the opposition, didn't he? So I think he's went of late by bringing Ruben Diaz in to try and get more clean sheets. The Lyon game over one leg, I thought his tactics were crazy. I thought he overthought and he overrespected Lyon. He should have went attacking. Maybe give Lyon a goal and but believe in what you're doing and scoring 2, 3 and 4, because that's what City were about when they were playing Lyon, but he went too defensive in that game. But I think the signing of Ruben Diaz is a really pivotal signing for them. It's like when Van Dijk went into Liverpool, he's been that good and he's been that amazing for them, where he's made everyone around him, people like Laporte and John Stones, better defenders. This is without Aguero. Jesus has only been playing the last couple of games as well. No De Bruyne, who's just come back. So they're still scoring goals, but could have been 2-1 against Gladbach. Gladbach had a chance late on and they probably should have scored. But that game should have been 5 or 6.
Robbo, do you see a gap between maybe Manchester City and I think the next two favourites, Bayern and PSG, or do you think they're all kind of clumped together in one group?
No, I think Manchester City are quite clearly the favourites. They're the best team in the competition at the moment. But I think Bayern could be fairly close because on their day, they can put in some great performances. They've done it last year. They've still got some pace going forward. When you see the likes of Koeman and Sane and then Lewandowski with his goals, I think they're good in midfield as well. So they're the closest team to Manchester City at the moment. And the one problem that Man City may have is, or Pep Guardiola may have, does he really want to go with Jesus as the centre forward, or would he play those midfield players just playing in behind and play with two wide front players? That's going to be his big decision over the coming weeks.
19 straight wins across all competitions for Manchester City. Don't forget, we're back on tomorrow's show. Stevie joins me in studio. Shaka in as well. Plenty to look forward to on the weekend.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I know what you're asking yourself. Why is Stevie making a weird face? It's extra
that's
time.
His face.
And that's what we do on Extra Time. You send in the questions, the boys answer them. Today with Shaka, Don, Stevie, and Robbo. Most of that crew still with us for our next segment. We've replaced Stevie with Jules, always an upgrade. Also an upgrade, Shaka, on Thursdays when we get to bring in your power rankings, which sources tell me are not at all in any way controversial this week.
Are they ever? This is some of my finest work yet.
Okay.
The only controversy is that I left West Ham out because I didn't want to show my bias. Other than that, that top 10 speaks for itself.
You've and just it admitted to bias, by the
so
way.
So very loudly. Galatasaray. Listen, the only question anybody on
Incredible.
This planet can have is Bayern Munich, and I will counter that because I could tell what this mob is thinking. I will counter that by saying European and world champions sitting top of the Bundesliga, best result in the Champions League this week, deservingly holding steady at number two. Mm-hmm. Other than that, there can be no other argument, one through nine. I say that with all confidence.
Absolutely. Sounds like it. Don, do you agree? Do you share in Shaka's confidence?
No. Well, let me just pick up on Bayern. Bayern lost to Eintracht Frankfurt at the weekend. The weekend before that, they drew 3-3 against Bielefeld. And Man City are sitting top, Shaka, because how many on the spin have they won? 19, yes?
Something like that.
Correct.
Glasgow Rangers, in the league and in the Europa League, have won 32, drawn 6, 0 losses.
Notice how you said league and Europa League, because they lost in the cup the other day.
No.
Don't just pick what games. Oh, well, if the team didn't start with a B, they're undefeated. That don't count.
You keep saying Rangers lost the other day. That was 4 months ago.
No, it wasn't.
It was.
No, it wasn't.
It was.
Shaka.
Move on. Yes. Seb, move on.
We're in the weekly discussion of where Rangers fits in between Shaka and Don. Jules, what do you make of this mess?
I mean, Bayern is a disgrace. No, there's no way. I mean, they won against Lazio, who play like an under-17 team, who give them 4 goals, one being an own goal, and the others a gift from the defense. There's no way they should be second. Where's Slavia Prague? They were in the power rankings last week. They've disappeared when they've just beat Leicester, knocked them out. Leicester are third in the Premier League. Slavia deserve to be there. And maybe you can show some love to young boys, by the way, who just knocked out Bayer Leverkusen, who have lost 1 in a million games as well in Switzerland.
You're just making things up now, Jules.
Well,
you're just making things up.
No, isn't that what the power rankings are?
You just
made up.
No, it's a highly sophisticated algorithm, I'll have you know, Sebi.
Okay.
Yes. Slavia Prague drew their last 2 in the league.
Right.
They get a good result because Leicester can't score, but that's not going to wash around here.
So their current form counts against them, but Bayern's current form doesn't count against
Bayern
them.
Bayern are the reigning world and European champions. Mm-hmm. That's
what?
I cannot argue
what?
That. I cannot argue that.
So they just stay in there forever until someone wins the Champions League again?
Until they deservingly go down. They had the best result in the Champions League this week. They stay.
Robbo,
end of story.
Rangers.
Robbo, yeah, anything you like about Shaka's power rankings?
No, I like Shaka's power rankings most of the time. I'm just a bit disappointed that Inter Milan, having beaten their closest rivals to go 4 points clear at the top of Serie A, aren't a bit higher than fifth, because it was an outstanding performance on the counter-attack against AC Milan.
So, Shaka's having a mare, Robbo. Shaq's having a mare. This is the worst rankings I've ever seen.
Hold on a minute.
That's
Milan
a high
went
ball.
In last week. They made their debut this week, end of number 5. I'm not sure how much more love you want me to show.
They've just beaten the league, the team second in the league. They're rivals. They're now 4 points clear. Surely they've got to be higher than fifth.
They're fifth. They went in last week. Because they got knocked out from Juventus in the Coppa Italia, they make a debut at number 5.
Shaka,
I don't know how much more love you want me to show them.
You know, like Don said, Coppa Italia was about a month ago, Shaka.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Don said when you talked about...
It was 2 years. Listen, you and Don need new calendar. That's all I'm saying.
Shaka, you think the wider you make your arms, the better the point is made?
No, the louder I shout, the more sense of me.
You were mentioning Inter Milan. They, of course, sit top of Serie A. After that, I think what we do have to agree, Shaka, a pretty impressive performance against their city rivals, Milan. Inter now 4 points clear. Of course, looking ahead towards the weekend, big match for AC Milan as they take on fourth place.
I'm going to move into Milan up, you know. I think I'll move them up in my power rankings now that you say
that. Save that for next week. Save that for next week.
Oh, I didn't mention it, Sebi.
Robbo, Milan certainly need a bounce back here. Are they good for it against Roma?
I'm not sure they are, because they were caught out time and time again on the counter-attack. I'm not sure Roma are anywhere near as good as Inter Milan at the moment, but they've beaten most of the sides apart from the big sides. Roma need Mkhitaryan to be fully fit and running at defenders. But I think if Milan can get Ibrahimovic back into the game and start winning balls in the air and get the three players, and they're the key players, the three players playing in behind the main striker, Rebic, if he comes back into the side, Calhanoglu, who's played in the number 10 role, and Salamaca's on the right-hand side. If those three players play well and Kessie dominates midfield, I still think they're a better team than Roma. Roma are too inconsistent for me. Milan need to get this victory just to keep their their title challenge going, because if they lose this one, I think they're out of it. And if Roma lose this one, they're out of it as well.
Mm. AC Milan, Roma. There we see the match odds. Roma, slight favourites over Milan. Robbo, the reverse fixture between these two teams, 3-3. What kind of game you think we get on Sunday, and who do you think wins?
I'm hoping that, because AC Milan have been the overachievers in some way, and I hope this last couple of defeats doesn't sort of knock their confidence, because when they're playing well, they're a good side to watch. Roma have been too inconsistent. I've seen them play some against the big teams and be absolutely hopeless and be beaten far too easily. I think it's going to be a tight game. I think it's going to be a very, very close game between two sides that need this victory. But I'm just going to go with AC Milan. They're going to get their title challenge back on track, and Ibrahimovic is going to score with a header.
All right, then, here's what the Serie A schedule looks like for the weekend. Action starts on ESPN Plus Friday, Torino and Sassuolo. The one match on television, ESPN2, Sunday morning, Sampdoria-Atalanta. Everything else on ESPN Plus. That includes Juventus. They play Saturday. Your league leaders, Inter, home against Genoa, and Roma, Milan. Again, coverage starts 2 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN Plus. And if you really want to dive into the Italian top flight, the Serie Awesome podcast, just the place to do it. Mina, Nikki, Matteo, and Kay with all the latest.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
ESPN Plus, of course, your home for Bundesliga as well. Action starts this weekend Friday. Josh Sargent, Werder Bremen taking on a Frankfurt team that are climbing the table. They've won 8 of 9 in the league. Big boys in action on Saturday. You can see Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund, and RB Leipzig. They face Borussia Mönchengladbach. All those games available for you on ESPN Plus. All right, well, that's all we've got for today's edition of the show. Shaka, always a pleasure to be with you, but you're not done just yet.
Okay.
Oh, no. We've got an episode, special edition of West Ham TV. I'm sorry, that's a West Ham TV. I meant Extra Time, Shaka. Extra Time. Shaka's back. Don's back. Stuart Robson's back. Who else is with us? Stevie Nickel taking your questions. Starts now. What's up, everybody? Welcome into this Thursday edition of Extra Time. Shaka Hislop and Seb here in the studios. We've got Robbo, Don, and Stevie with us as well. Man, four analysts here for this edition of Extra Time, and plenty of questions to get to. Let's start with the first one. Do you think when it hits the quarterfinal stages of the big tournaments, FIFA, or I guess UEFA in this case, should take out the away goal advantages if all matches have to be played, as many are now in neutral stadiums? All right, Robbo, start with you.
If it's a way of deciding the game before extra time, I'm all for having away goals. As the stadiums aren't being the main stadiums, the home stadiums, I think they probably should take it away, to be honest.
Bravo, when you're calling a match, they don't pay you extra for the extra time.
I just think extra time is a complete waste of time. It's the one thing I would change in football, because it just, I've never seen a good extra time. And I've done many, many of them, I can assure you.
Just to be clear, you're talking about extra time on the pitch, not this segment. You've seen many, many quality additions and renditions
yeah, sorry,
of this segment.
Sorry, mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, Steve, do you think Liverpool will return to top form next season with a fully fit squad? Stevie?
I would have to say yes, with a fully fit squad. There's no reason why they won't be as good as they've been in the last couple of years. And clearly the problems are because of injuries. They don't have a fully fit squad. So if you're giving me a fully fit squad, I'm going to say yes. I think they'll be, again, the team to beat.
Don, you agree?
Absolutely. And the first player I would sign, Sebi, would be João Félix from Atletico Madrid. He'd be the first player that I would sign. Because he is wasted there.
Oh, man. Mm. Look at that. No love for Atleti. Let's see here. Oh, another one for Stevie. What is the main difference of the current Liverpool team? Oh, and the one that you played for. That's a good one. Steve?
The main difference, well, I'll tell you what, the main difference is the way we play the game. And there's actually something that people keep saying to me, how would your team today match up with the Liverpool team today? Like the 11 that's fit, the 11 that we know. Well, the way the game was played when I played, there was less space and less time on the ball. And the way the game's played today, there is more space and you get more time on the ball. Because you can ping the ball around the field, when you get the ball, you've more time and space. So are you telling me that the players we had, if we had more time and space, wouldn't be even better than we were? Mm-hmm. So I'd be more than happy to match up against any team they want to put up against us today, playing the way they do today.
Brian asks, West Ham chances of finishing top four. I've been waiting to get to you.
I'm trying to decide.
Can you not ask Dan? Hey, can you ask Don with percentage? Never mind that.
No.
Every chance. Go on, Shaq. Go on, Don.
You go first.
Go on.
I don't want to jinx
them. Go on, mate. I don't want to jinx them neither.
Yeah, listen. It's there, quite obviously. Big game against City to come. Just kind of given how hard Chelsea has been to beat under Thomas Tuchel since he arrived, right now I think they probably have the edge over West Ham just. But everybody coming back to full fitness to West Ham, Lingard fitting in as well as he has, if you avoid injuries, not a lot of wiggle room for Chelsea. And I'm freely assuming that City, United and Leicester finish top three.
Can you answer the question?
I'll tell you what I would say. The answer to West Ham
would be no.
I'll tell you what I would say.
Thank
I was
you,
there for the Liverpool
the
game. Sebi, I was there for the Liverpool game and I got the impression from David Moyes and his men on the day when Liverpool had a raft of injuries. I think Jordan Henderson played at the back when Nat Phillips and Mane was missing. And Jurgen Klopp went with Shaqiri as a false nine and it didn't quite work. I had the feeling that David Moyes and the West Ham players never had the belief that they could beat Liverpool. And I thought they went into the game a little bit negative when Liverpool were there for the taking and it was a chance for West Ham to take a big scalp. I think the performance against Man City will tell you everything you need to know about West Ham. If they sit in and just accept getting beat by 1 or 2 nil, then they're not going to make top four. If they have a real good go, and have a go at Man City, they can beat them. And even if they don't, there's always a way of losing. If you lose 3-2 or lose 2-1 and you're in the game and you're competitive, you can roll on to the game after that. But it's the belief that I think West Ham need.
Turning into West Ham.
So Don, they rely too much on one player. They won't get into the top four because they rely too much on one player, and that's Antonio. Because the way David Moyes wants to play the game is a little bit, he wants to be good defensively, he wants to play on the counter-attack, and if they haven't got Antonio in the team, and I saw them in the Cup against Manchester United, where they were absolutely woeful going forward.
Yeah.
Yarmolenko played as the centre-forward, obviously Lingard couldn't play, and they won't get in the top four unless Antonio, and they won't get in the top four anyway, but Antonio is key to them.
Well, they've done well without him, Stu. They've won games without him.
Mm. Yeah, they won't win the big games without him.
I was about to call this West Ham TV, but it just took a turn for the worse. Next question. Shaka, is Lingard the signing of the season? Will he join you in winning Hammer of the Year?
Signing for who of the season? Well, you mean just for West Ham or signing of the league?
I mean, there's two different questions in there. Let's focus on the second one. Will he join you in winning Hammer of the Year?
For half, not for half a season.
Okay.
I still think either Souček or Michael Antonio are ahead of him because they played the full season. And again, signing of the season for West Ham or signing of the season for the league? I'm that's what I'm uncertain about.
I put Craig Dawson in there, Sebi.
Okay.
Dawson has been a brilliant signing, right under the radar. Didn't cost too much. West Ham fans, when they heard of the signing, they thought, oh, another average signing. He's not really going to play. He's just going to sit on the bench. He has been unbelievable this season for West Ham.
Rabo, I have to mention here, you are also a Hammer of the Year.
Yep. In the, I think about 88, something like that, 88, 89. But anyway, Souček has been magnificent for them in that midfield area. He's done a good job defensively, and whenever the ball goes wide, he's a threat into the box, and that's what David Moyes wants. He wants midfield players that will counter-attack and get in the box when crosses come in, and he's done it really, really well.
West Ham have a hard run-in. I'm just looking at this.
Chad has not been bad.
They have a hard run-in.
I was kidding when I said this was West Ham TV. We don't need to...
No, I know. I take you quite literally every time you speak, Seb.
That's your first mistake. Next question. Ooh, things got intense on yesterday's show. And we know our usual host here is the king of the wind-up.
Mm.
How do you guys avoid the urge to throttle Dan Thomas? Stevie.
Maybe we should ask you that, Seb.
Oh, because we're on TV. We're on TV and you throttle them, then the evidence will be there, so you can't. Pretty simple.
Robert, you ever get mad at Dan?
Well, who says we haven't throttled him at some point? What goes on afterwards, you just don't know about.
Oh, man. He is pretty good at winding people up, yeah?
Yeah, he is.
I'll give him that.
We'll say anymore.
Next question. Seb, what is your favorite Liga MX team and your favorite MLS team?
Did you send in your own question to yourself?
Yeah, he did.
Did you write
Wait
yourself?
Wait a sec. We just turned this into West Ham TV. We can't turn Liga MX TV for a minute. Into Seb TV.
Yeah. Seb, what's my favorite La Liga team?
Favorite Liga MX team.
Oh, goodness me. Well, answer your question, Seb. Answer your own question.
Liga MX team,
hold on.
Everybody knows.
Hold on. We've cancelled Seb TV.
He says so questioning.
Yes, boss. Okay, I'll tell
him. He's even made a little name up and everything. goodness.
Man.
Have you answered your question? Answer your question.
I keep trying. You guys keep interrupting. Club America in Mexico and the Fighting Wayne Rooney's DC United, my favorite MLS team.
Okay, great, fantastic. But brilliant. Hey, give us the next question.
Thank you, Stevie. I guess we know that's not Stevie's burner account. Who would win in a 100-meter/yard sprint between the four gentlemen if they raced after the show? Fourth place finisher can't watch football for the rest of the calendar year. So that's Hislop, Nickel, Hutchison, Robson.
Hold on.
Shaka, rank them for me. Give me a 1, 2, 3, 4.
Not watching football is a punishment or a prize?
Easy, Craig.
I'm just asking. Listen,
I'm going fourth Nickel. Third, Hislop.
What?
Yeah, you ain't beating me and Stu over a race.
Listen.
And I'm not quick. I don't know if Stu was quick. He might just pip me.
I don't think so.
Not these days.
I'll be Don on his bike. Don you could ride your bike and I'll still beat you.
You would win today.
Get in.
I thought I would beat Stevie Nicol in a rowing race. But unfortunately, I had Gav in the boat with me, so that was always going to be a disaster.
Yeah. I back myself to win that race. Yeah.
You do?
All right, Robbo.
Shaka, you ain't winning.
I back myself to get on easy.
Oh, no, I'm in.
Shaka, you are not
Thomas. Dan Thomas or Gabriella Marcotti? Who do you want in your boat? We've got Cox in one, Dan Thomas, and we had a rather large chap in the other boat.
Shaka, you ain't winning this.
Shaka.
Yeah.
Hey, Don, I don't think you saw this either, but I'll tell you what, it was absolutely hilarious, right? So they were holding the two boats, getting to say ready, steady, go, and I've looked across, right? And you couldn't see the number on the back of their boat because Gab was sat in the back of it and it was right on the water. The water was about that off the back of the boat. You couldn't see the number.
Brilliant. That's the moment he knew he had the race. I'm told we have one more question here that's not on the paper, but from Frank McManaman, one of our frequent contributors. Shaka, are you proud of your favorite player, Mikel Antonio, for deciding to play for Jamaica instead of England, similar to what you did with Trinidad? You played for England in U21, is that right?
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit different because I'm from Trinidad. I grew up in Trinidad.
So. Right.
Hold on.
It's not official,
why
right?
Did he, why did you decide not to play for England?
Huh?
Let me guess.
What was the question, Stevie?
I said, I wonder why he decided not to play for England.
Oh, well, he's made that quite obvious. He's not got looking in the England squad, so he decided
exactly. He's not getting a game, Jamaica. That's why.
I don't
know. It's going to make Jamaica a lot better because he's not the only one that they're apparently recruiting right now.
There's a couple who are eligible and may yet throw their hats in the rings. And it's something you saw Jamaica do with the squad that qualified for the 98 World Cup. Mm-hmm. Not sure how everybody.
Robbie
Earl's
making a comeback, isn't he?
Well, yeah, we need to ask Robbie. I'm not sure how everybody in Jamaica feels about it. For Mikel Antonio, right? That's an understandable decision from his part. I'm just not sure how all the Jamaica fans feel about it.
Think it'll pay off with a World Cup spot?
I think as CONCACAF goes, it's as good a cycle as any to get in to qualify high up.
Right. So CONCACAF is weak, is what you're saying?
I think you have Mexico and the U.S., and whereas I think in previous campaigns, Costa Rica, Honduras and the likes, we're a lot stronger. I'm not sure you can see that this time around.
Very well. So we went from West Ham TV to Seb TV to CONCACAF TV. Maybe that's where we should leave it for today. That's it for Extra Time. Thanks to the guys for joining us. Thanks to you for the questions. We will be back on tomorrow's edition of ESPN FC. Don't miss it.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.